morning. Truly, as we enter the Advent season, it is the time that we celebrate the birthday of not any king, but the King. And so we are excited to be able to gather together on this first Sunday of Advent and begin our journey together. And starting our Advent sermon series entitled A Christmas Experience. And we certainly hope that this year you have a tremendous experience with the Lord in this Christmas season. And you know me, many of you do. This is my favorite time of the year, and I get very excited about the Christmas season, the coming of the Messiah, and all the ambiance that surrounds the Christmas season. It's just simply my favorite time of the year. And I hope it's yours too. It may not be, but I hope it is, and that you come each week with anticipation as we worship the coming Messiah. Have you ever made the statement, or at least thought, there's not enough room in here? Every day. All of us at least have at some point, there's just not enough room. I remember when we bought our first SUV. Of course, that's just a more manly station wagon, but nonetheless, our first SUV. It was a 2003 Chevy Trailblazer. And you might say, why? Why? Because there wasn't enough room in my 92 Ford F-150 pickup truck. You can't put two adults, two car seats, and an exuberant young lady in the little seat in the back of a what they called an extended cab in the early 90s. And so it was a miserable experience every time we went somewhere. And so we determined we needed more room. And so we bought the Trailblazer. It had a third row seat. And we were happy campers in that Trailblazer. We loved that thing. And we drove it almost 300,000 miles. And I remember a time, even though that was a third row seat vehicle and there was plenty of room in it, me and the guys went to Canada and there was seven of us and we put seven hefty, yeah, you get the point, guys in that Trailblazer. And at that point, you know what we were saying? There's not enough room in here. And it was so funny. We pulled into a gas station and to get gas and, I think we looked a bit like the Beverly Hillbillies, because we had a trailer behind. We had all our fishing stuff and camping stuff. So there was a trailer all piled up with stuff. And all these big, burly, bearded guys, you know, we're outdoorsmen, are coming out of this Trailblazer. And this young lady at the other side of the pump saying, how many guys are in that thing? You know, room! Not enough room! I believe the truth is the struggle for enough room is real for many of us. Not enough room. This week we celebrated Thanksgiving, and why we're grateful for our home, our wonderful family that is growing. And as we sat down in the evening, we did Thanksgiving a little different, but as we sat down in the evening to eat, I made the comment, I think there's enough room at the table. I've never lived in a sardine can, so I don't know what a sardine feels like in a sardine can. But if you'd have took a picture of us around our dining room table, I think you would get that feeling. It helps, though, that Aubrey's left-handed. We could put her on the end so she has some elbow room. Otherwise, we're sitting here eating like this. How I'm going to fix that, I don't know. And so sometimes there's no room. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 addresses the issue of no room. So let's take a look. Let's take our Bible and turn over to Luke chapter 2, verse 7 this morning. Just one verse that says something tremendously powerful, something for us to consider as we begin this Advent season. Stand together as we read the Word. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And there it shares with us, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Key words this morning I want us to focus on is no room. Dear precious Father, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful and excited for this Advent season. We come to worship you and adore you and to experience you anew and afresh as we make preparation for the celebration of your coming. And so, Lord, this morning I ask that you would just sweep across our hearts and minds this morning, allowing the Holy Spirit to stir us, do something in us this morning as we come to think about this concept of no room for the Messiah. And I ask that you would just touch us in a very special way. I ask that you allow us come in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the Word this morning. Lord, we need you. We ask that you once again would bless as you only can. For we ask in your precious name and amen. You may be seated this morning. I'd like to take a few moments and for us to begin to think a little bit about this statement, no room. The Scripture shares with us in some form or fashion that when Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem, there was no room for them. We'll talk a little bit about why that is in just a moment, but there was no room, no place for them. And what I'd like for us to begin to think about this morning is, what does no room really say to us in 2022? As we begin this Advent season, what does no room really say to us? So three things I'd like to bring to our attention this morning as we think about no room. First of all, there was no room for Jesus in the busyness of Bethlehem. If you read in Scripture, you'll understand at this point when Christ came into the world there in Bethlehem, that it was a very busy place. The reason it was a very busy place is because of the census. Luke chapter 2 starts out as Caesar Augustus, he wrote a decree that they would do a census. They would do a count of all the people under Roman authority. And so there was a great crowd in Bethlehem because everybody in this season had to return to their ancestral home where they were born to be counted with their family. And so there was lots and lots and lots and lots of people in Bethlehem. And so it was a very busy place. Great number of crowds there for the census. What we discover is that the place, Bethlehem, was just too busy for the Savior. And I thought about too busy in Bethlehem. Everybody was there for the census. Everyday life was going on. Plus, all these individuals had come to Bethlehem to be counted with their family. The place was packed. Full house, if you want to say. In fact, so full, there was no place for Mary and Joseph and the newborn Christ child. That's how busy it was. It sounds a lot like life today in 2020. Busy. Places to be. Things to do. Work to get done. Money to be made. Could you imagine? Of course, I'm not saying in that day that Bethlehem would have been a tourist attraction, but you can imagine how happy the business owners in Bethlehem would be at this point. The marketplace would be astir. Busy. But in that busyness, I want us to recognize that there was greater business to be done. Many people didn't recognize it, but in the busyness of Bethlehem, Christ came into the world. And even though they didn't recognize what was happening or unfolding in the busyness and the business of Bethlehem in that day, I hope that we understand that salvation is more important than sales. The marketplace was a buzz. Vendors was making more money in this season than they've made in some time because of the census. Now, is it right or wrong to put Christmas stuff out before Thanksgiving? I'm not going to argue that. I'm a Christmas guy. So as soon as it comes up, we're there looking around saying, ooh, that's neat and that's neat and we like that. And we're thinking, what in the world? When did black become part of Christmas? I don't know. Anyway, but in the marketplace, I mean, unfortunately, Christmas has become a marketing tool for many companies and corporations, and that's unfortunate because salvation is more important than sales. The coming of Christ into the world, redemption for humanity, far more important than the marketplace. Eternity is more important than earnings. Eternal life was among them. The opportunity for eternal life. But they were focused on earnings instead of eternity. It's unfortunate too many people are too busy in the Christmas season to recognize that eternal life is before them. I hope that we recognize that peace with God is more important than profit. Encountering the Christ child, instead of being concerned about gain. This was all happening in the marketplace in Bethlehem. The Master is more important than money. The Christ child more important than anything else that was going on in Bethlehem. But what we discover is that it was so busy with business that most people missed out on the most important business that was unfolding in Bethlehem. They were busy doing this, doing that, earning, making a profit, gaining, celebrating all that was happening. But they missed the celebration because of their busyness. There was no room for Jesus in the business of Bethlehem. I wonder, this Christmas, what is crowding Jesus out of your life? I think it's a very relevant question as we begin this first Sunday of Advent. You might say, well, Pastor Mike, we haven't even started the Christmas season. We just got started. I don't know what that is, but you knew what it was last year? Shake your head. You know that's true. And most likely, you know what it'll be this year? The same thing it was last year. Because we are creatures of habit. We do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. I think it's good that we think already this morning, what is crowding Jesus out of my life this Christmas season? The second thing I want us to think about in regard to No Room this morning is that there was no room for Jesus in the homes of Bethlehem either. No place in the business market side of Bethlehem. No room for Jesus in the homes of Bethlehem either. The inn was most likely the innkeeper's home. And Scripture says there was no room in the inn. Now that brings up a tremendous discussion. I've shared this with my small group in my Sunday school class at times in regard to this scenario in Scripture in regard to the inn in Bethlehem. And I want to be very careful here. I don't want to upset our Christmas apple cart or any of that type of thing. Many scholars say that the likelihood of there actually being an inn in Bethlehem was very unlikely. You're going, oh, you're telling me Scripture's wrong? No. When we think inn, we think holiday. Not Christmas holiday, but Holiday Inn, Comfort Inn, the Hilton. That's our Western mind thinking we're going to stay at the inn. Now, when Becky and I think inn, we think like Spring Mill. Well, you know, that type of scenario. As you study the word, and we'll look at the actual Greek word, and I didn't look that up, but I do know what it means. It would have been a better translation to say guest room. That's basically what an inn is. It's a room for guests. And so with the census, all the family would be returning to Bethlehem, to their ancestral home. Now, their culture was a lot different than our culture. Our kids typically grow up, get married, leave home. That's Western culture. And parents, some parents are really excited. Some parents aren't when that happens. It's a bit different. Trust me, I know. It's a bit different. So, what happens is, in their culture, typically, they would have a family home. And then when a son would get married, they would add on to the family home. And so the home would just grow. Now, there is the rare occasion where a family member would leave the area, and that's exactly what happened with Joseph. And so what the families would do, because families were large, and they all pretty much lived together, put that in your mind for a little bit and think about Christmas chaos. But anyway, there would be a guest room in the ancestral home. However, they were a very patriarchal society. And so the oldest sibling that returned home would be, guess where? Guest room. That's just the way it was. Didn't matter if your wife was having a child or not. That's just the way it was. That's a society they lived in. That was their culture. And so when we think Scripture, when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem at what most likely was the ancestral home of his family, the guest room was already full. And so there was no room for them in the end. A little different story. There's a whole lot more there. When I got more time, you want to know more about it, I'll share it with you. But no, Scripture wasn't wrong. Just a translation scenario, guest room. And it's kind of the same thing. Inns have, they were not guest rooms. That's what they are. But there was no room for them. And so we have the beautiful Christmas story that unfolds for us, that Mary brought forth her firstborn child and she laid him in a manger. I'm going to get in all kind of trouble here for just a minute. There is no place in Scripture that says there was a stable. Ask your friends, where was Jesus born? A stable. That's the number one answer. No stable. Told you I was going to get in trouble. Yep, I am. And while I'm on that track, I might as well just really mess it all up and say, probably if you go to all our nativity scenes at home, we have Mary, Joseph, and the baby shepherds. And wise men. We do realize the wise men didn't show up the same time the shepherds did. Anyway, now that's all confused in your mind, I want to bring his thanks. Yeah, you're welcome. We're focusing on the child that was born. The exact place or who was there or who wasn't isn't what's important. You see what happens. I did this for a reason. You see what happens when we cloud everything with busyness? We lose track of what's important. There was no room, and this is what I want us to get. There's no room for them in the homes of Bethlehem either. They were far too busy. Which brings us to the thought this morning, what busy places our homes have become. We've gone from saying, there's not enough room in here, to boy, I wish I could just get a moment to sit down. Going here and going there and doing this and doing that and taking care of this and decorating the house and buying gifts and going to work and taking care of the kids and running the kids here and running the kids there and doing this and doing that and squeezing in a moment to go to church and so on and so forth. Our homes are like Grand Central Station. It reminds me of the commercial for Dunkin' Donuts, if you've seen it. The guy comes in, time to make the donuts. And that steer goes, time to make the donuts. And he passes himself going and out. And he says, I've already made the donuts. Truth is, we live in an extremely busy world and our homes are extremely busy. And so, I have to be very careful here. And I'm going to ask for your forgiveness first, because I know I'm sharing or preaching to the choir, as the old saying goes. So forgive me. We find time for TV, video games, computer stuff, internet, social media, newspapers, books, magazines, and sporting events, or whatever our heart so desires. But we often struggle to find time for Christ. Time for community of activities, nothing wrong with those. Time for entertainment, that's good stuff too. But when we think about those scenarios, truth is, no wonder the world is in trouble. Just like the inn, there's no room for Jesus. That's a sobering thought. So on this first Sunday of Advent, I wonder, is our guest room available? Third thing I want to share with you in regard to this no room thought. We understand there was no room for Jesus in the busyness, in the business of Bethlehem. There was no room in the inn or in the homes of those in Bethlehem. And third, there was no room in the social life of Bethlehem for Jesus. Some of us might just like to say, boy, I wish I had a social life. We're so busy, we didn't even have a social life. Come on, you know that's true sometimes. Bethlehem was truly no friend of God that first Christmas, and neither is the world we live in. You can be anything except Christian, and you can talk about anything but Christ. I find it interesting that in studies say that people don't mind talking about God, but often they get offended when you talk about Jesus. That's an interesting paradox, isn't it? But it's true. And the reason that is because when we begin to talk about Jesus, we begin to talk about change. We begin to talk about the way we live and how we live. And so we discover that not only was there no room in the social life of Bethlehem for Jesus, there's often no room in the social life of the world we live in for Jesus. There was a time that the church was the social center of society. It was the place to be. That's where it happened. If you wanted to socialize with somebody, you went to church. Now we have a million ways to socialize, so-called, with people all around the world. I want to challenge us in this Christmas that we do not miss the opportunity to socialize with Jesus. Now, should we be doing that every day of our life? Yes, we should. Yeah, wouldn't it be neat to be able to send a text to Jesus and he responds? Yeah, that'd be cool. Send him a Snapchat. Now, you younger crowd, you'd really like that. Could you imagine for a moment what he'd send back? What runs through my mind, and it's Christmas season, so just bear with me. I could see Jesus leaned up against his dad. Could you get this? Just chilling with dad. Smile. Think about that. To be able to, and this Christmas, connect with Christ like we never have before. That he would be the social center of our Christmas. That Dover Hill would be the place to be. That's where it's happening. That's where they're celebrating the coming of the Messiah. It's exciting and it's fun. And Jesus is there. But it's unfortunate that today the church is no longer the social center of our community. Often, if you make time for Jesus, you find yourself in the minority and people think that you're weird and strange. The world can think that, but I think you're awesome. Well, we could go on and on in regard to this concept of no room, but I think this morning we're beginning to understand a little bit about this no room for Jesus in Bethlehem. And as we come to a close this morning, unfortunately, how well this text fits our lives today. No room. I've discovered that we make time for the things we believe are important. In our busyness, there's something we believe is important. We'll figure out how to get there and how to do whatever that thing is that we determine to be important. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, how important is Jesus in your life? I think it's a very relevant question as we begin the Advent season. How important is Jesus in your life? Is there room in your heart and life for Jesus this Christmas season? Could we today spiritually clean out the guest room and prepare it for the visit of the Lord into our heart and life? As many of you have noticed, and I'm sure you have, it wasn't too long ago we were saying Happy New Year. And now we're first Sunday of Advent. If we're not careful in our busyness, we'll miss the opportunity to engage with Jesus. Let's stand together. So this morning, in just a moment of quiet reverence, I would encourage us to just ponder this thought. Of how much room is in my life for Jesus. Truth is, sometimes we're just too busy. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so excited about the Advent season. And Lord, there's no question that the Christmas season is extremely busy. Life is busy. Sometimes life is difficult, and it is hard sometimes to be here and be there and accomplish all the things that needs to be accomplished. And you know that. And so I'm asking you, Lord, that in this season, that you would help us to just intentionally take time to be with you. To recognize the hope that you bring into our life. To recognize the tremendous gift that you are. And to celebrate you in very powerful ways. Help us, Lord, that the busyness of our society doesn't rob us of time spent with you. Lord, may this Christmas season, for those of us here at Dover Hill and around the world, be the best season we've experienced this year. May we encounter you in life-giving and life-changing ways. Help us, Lord, to make room for the Messiah. We ask in your precious name. Amen. I want to remind you to see me. It's Hanging to the Greens. So we invite you to come out and just celebrate with us as we decorate the church and share together, and as we begin the Advent season with concert with Mark Weiss, and just come and just enjoy the season. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Church board, I do need to see you for a few minutes after the service.